Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everybody, welcome to Profoundly Pointless. My name is Nick Vinzant. Coming up in this episode, slap fighting and slappable offenses.
The drive that I have now to be the best slap fighter is unparalleled, and I don't think I'm going to lose. You know, people might see it as, you know, reckless and, you know, idiotic and all that. But, you know, I see it as an opportunity to create a sport. Anyone can be a slap fighter. Anybody. You know, you want to try it out. If you got the character, if you got the willingness to continue round after round, then you can become a thing.
I want to thank you so much for joining us. If you get a chance, like, download, subscribe, share. We really appreciate it. It really helps us out. So you've probably heard of slap fighting, or at least seen some videos of it online. At the very least, you have to admit, it's interesting. So we wanted to know more about the people who are participating in this sport. Our first guest is an undefeated slap fighting champion. This is Koa Viernes. So slap fighting, like how did you get into this?
Really, I got into it by watching YouTube. It was just a thing that I thought, you know, at first I was like, oh, I can do that. And then I was working, and on my break, I saw on Facebook that there was a slap fight competition down the road from where I live. And I contacted my wife and I said, hey, I kind of want to try and do this. So she was like, go for it. You know, she's super supportive of me, whatever stupid things that I do. The rest is history, man. I just decided to do it.
So you had no, like, you just showed up? You had never, like,
no,
trained for it or anything?
The first one that I did was Crazy Hawaiian versus Hillbilly Hippie. And that's one that, you know, a lot of people recognize me for. For me, I'm a big critic of my own technique. So it's not my proudest performance, but it's the one that got me to where I am now, because it went 21 rounds, and you know, he was a tough guy. He was a really tough guy. Out of all my slap fights, you know, no one went 21 rounds with me. So kudos to him. And the drive that I have now to be the best slap fighter is unparalleled, and I don't think I'm gonna lose, you know. And if I do, I'll take it like a champ, you know. I'll ask for a rematch, but you know, slap fighting is a thing now, and a lot of people don't understand that it's gonna be a thing. It's not gonna stay a spectacle.
What about it drew you to it?
It's the savagery, the rawness. Just being able to actually do that. I mean, some will say it's kind of like evil in a sense, but really it's no less fun than going in there in a boxing ring and doing the same thing to somebody. But this time they're not trying to move their head back and forth and stay away from your punches. So really it's who got the best chin. Really, that's really what it is. And right now, you know, I'm the best at it in taking on challenges, you know.
From what I've seen, right, like, is there anything more to it in the sense it's just a round is he slaps you, you slap him?
Yeah, it's a coin toss. And then as soon as you get slapped by your opponent, you get a minute to recover and a minute to answer back. And that's the basic rules of it. Sometimes you have round limits, you know, 5 rounds, 7 rounds, and sometimes you go unlimited rounds. And I've done a bunch of them. Super fun, but you know, people might see it as, you know, reckless and, you know, idiotic and all that. But you know, I see it as an opportunity to create a sport.
From the outsider's perspective, it's like, man, why are people doing this?
Right.
Right. Like, what would be, I guess, what would be your answer to that question? Like, wow, man.
Okay. So when a boxer, a respected boxer, cause I respect the art of boxing. If he comes into the ring and he gets hit really bad, you know, and some of them, they get knocked out. This really is to test your willingness to keep them going, you know. And you know, people might say, "Oh man, that's CTE and you know, brain damage and all that." But all these guys that are doing, you know, MMA, boxing, kickboxing, they're getting hit in the head too. You know, it's not a contactless sport, you know. Needless to say that there's a lot of things that you need to take into account. Like, I gave myself a limit, you know, I've got 2 more years to do this, and then I'm going to slowly work my way into boxing. And, you know, we'll see that, how that goes. But, you know, this is not a lifelong career of mine. I want to turn it into a sport. I want to be a pioneer. I want to, when they say, "Oh, slap fighting is stupid," blah, blah, blah. And then they look, "Oh, do you know about the crazy Hawaiian who tried to make it legal, or tried to make, put license behind it, tried to get physicals done before even the sport, you know, even before you walk up onto the table and risk your life." I'm not just a competitor, you know, I'm reaching out, you know, to people that are reaching out to me. And I'm trying to figure something out where, you know, who knows? It might be an Olympic sport. I don't know. I don't know. Who knows?
You never know, right?
Yeah, you never know.
I guess any sport, when it starts out, you're kind of like, what is this?
Yeah.
Like people on the water taking a boat back and forth across obstacles. Well, I guess that's now an Olympic sport of kayaking, right? Like,
right.
I guess everything's kind of strange when it starts out, right?
Right. I believe it's most strange of this, because people love it and people love to hate it. And it's something that, you know, that will drive a conversation for hours, you know. And I'm here to make a splash in that, you know, and be the one guy that stepped up. Because right now, all slap fighters, "Oh, I want to try slap fighting." And they don't realize that, you know, right now there's no money in slap fighting, you know, and the people that are doing it right now is doing it strictly for the sport and it to be a thing. And when the money comes, that's when everybody's going to be like, "Wow, this wasn't such a bad sport."
So is there, like, do you have is there a technique to it? Or are you just, "I'm just going to hit this guy as hard as I can"?
Right. I have a little story behind that. So the first one I went to, I literally came off the couch. Well, really, I was working construction, but I really wasn't doing anything. Nothing really to prepare myself for that. So if you watch that video, you're like, "Wow, how," you know, whatever. But I watched that video and I watched it over 100,000 times. And I, every time I watch it, I'm just disappointed. Because I didn't have any technique. I didn't have any aim. I didn't have any respect for the sport. So I watched it over and over again. And I promised myself, like, I'm not going to make myself look stupid like that again. So I'm going to have a technique. So a lot of my technique is, I'm already over 300 pounds. And power really ain't got nothing to do with it. It's your speed at this size. It's your speed and your aim. And, as soon as you get all that down, you know, you'd be knocking them down, one after another. But, it's not like boxing or MMA where you got to learn a whole bunch of techniques and all that. It's really simple. People overthink it. And, you know, it's a simple, easy sport, and I like to capitalize on that and that alone.
So is there a rule in terms of like, all right, because you're slapping somebody, but I could hit you with my fingers, or I could hit you with my whole hand, or I could kind of like hit you with my palm, you know, that hard part of like your palm.
Right.
Is there a way that you have to hit somebody?
So for me, by experience, your whole hand counts as a slap. So your palm, your fingers, and this whole area, anything below your palm would be considered, you know, clubbing or hitting with the wrist. And really, if you hit, you know, if you hit and you hit with your fingers, it's kind of a missed hit. The aiming part about it is 100% where it's at, but you know, don't tell everybody.
Where are you aiming for? Like, is there a specific part of somebody's face?
Oh man, you're gonna
yeah. Oh, so well, it's a secret. Is it a secret?
Well, no, I mean, really, it's right under your bottom lips. Right, really, it's your chin. Like, yeah, if you put your hand right here, the bottom of your palm really has to sit right here.
Oh, that's you want your palm. Like, if somebody took their hand and put it right underneath the side of their bottom lip from their palm, that's where you're really aiming. Oh, because it like snaps their head around, huh?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's what I'm doing. But shoot, I wasn't even gonna. Yeah, but a lot of people don't realize, you know, it's not how much of, you know, the landscape you can cover when you're slapping people. It's really where their button is, and everybody has one. You know, I have one, you know, and it might be just the way you have to hit me. I don't know, but that's that for me. I practice more on my accuracy now more than ever. And everything after the hillbilly fight has been a knockout. Anyone can be a slap fighter. Anybody, you know, you want to try it out. If you got the character, if you got the willingness to continue round after round, then you can become a thing.
But how much does having another large person smack you in the face over and over again hurt?
Oh, well. That's why, you know, I still got a lot more secrets, but, you know, if I don't knock you out on the first one, then you deserve to hit me. That's how I think. Like, if you win the coin toss, all right, you better knock me out. If not, then I'm going to hit you hard after you hit me. So really it's the feeling of having somebody slap me is almost exhilarating. Like in a sense where, okay, it's your turn. Here you go. I'm giving you a free shot. Yeah, and it's my turn after that. And it's a mind game when you're up there. It really is. It's more of a mind game than anything else, because if you break down your opponent before you even slap or you get slapped, you know, it's kind of a win already. And if you guys last as long without getting a knockout, then the judges are gonna look at who was more of a character and who gave more of an effort and who stood there while somebody slapped them and slapped about it or something or screamed at them, you know. And there's no other person like me in the sport. That's what I think. I mean, there's some big guys, and they got, you know, they got their techniques, but I don't believe anybody out there has character or made a character or you know, yeah, sure, they can slap and all that, but just to make a character out of it, that's hard.
Now, will you flinch or anything right when they're hit? Like, what's the trick? Is the trick to muscle up when you're about to get hit, or just to completely relax?
I tense up every bone, every muscle in my body, mostly my back muscles and my neck muscles and my shoulders. And I kind of tense up without looking like I'm tensing up.
Yeah, no, you know what you mean.
And really at the point of impact, I'm almost going into it. And you can't really tell when they slap me, but I'm the opposite side of, you know, the direction they're slapping me. If they're slapping me on my right side of the right side of my face, my left foot is really, really buckled down to the ground and willing to let that come all the way through me and not just stop right here. You know, really when people hit me, I would like to stare at them in their face and just take it without, you know, and scream at them after. Like, it's weird. Us guys, us bigger guys and us, you know, Polynesians and all that, we're built different, really. And, you know, I believe that one day in this sport, we're going to dominate. You know, weight has a lot to do with it, too, because if you can swing as much weight as you can and hit them where you think their button is, then you'll last long.
Are most of the people you're up against bigger than you or same size or smaller?
I'd say half of the guys that I've went up against are bigger than me, but the smaller guys are really not that much more smaller than me, you know?
What's the next, like, okay, so in the moment you're getting slapped and the adrenaline is up there, but what's the next day like? Because, I mean, you did just get, like, slapped in the face as hard as another person can hit you.
Really, there was only one slap fight that I walked away that I had to recover from, and it was the first one. I was probably swollen for a week. And then it was back to normal. But every slap fight after that, after the slap fight, I went to go and get some food with my wife. Really, it's just like a lot of people, you know, they're like, oh, how do you eat? And your face swollen. But my face, it only really went swollen once. And the rest of them were just like kind of red. And you can't really tell because I'm a little darker. But, you know, it stings sometimes. But, you know, it's not really unbearable. And it's fun. Like I said, it's fun to me.
Dude, now, do you have to hit... Can you just like hit somebody on the same side of the face over and over again? Or do you have to hit one side, then hit the other side?
Well, there's promotions that are popping up all over. One in Miami, one in California, one in Wyoming, one in New York, Poland, Russians, obviously. But every one of them has their own set of rules. If you get penalized for doing something that you're not supposed to do, then some of them, they go, oh, you get slapped again, you get a warning, and then the next one is a penalty, and you would have to take two slaps, meaning lose a turn.
Are you ready for some harder / listener-submitted questions?
Yes, I'm down with that.
Better way to slap, forehand or backhand?
I've never really slapped somebody with my backhand. But that would be, you know, that would kind of almost be the same, but not really. You got knuckles involved and all that. But I would like to try to hit somebody with my backhand, you know, because I've open hand people before, so yeah, that'll be a fun thing to do. To say that I did, at least.
When you're in competition, is it better to be able to slap hard, or is it better to be able to take the slap? What's more important, I guess, being able to hit or get hit?
I strongly believe that anyone can knock anyone out with the right, you know, technique. I feel like it's taking a hit. That's more like defenses win championships. Like, it's kind of the same thing.
Can you tell by the sound? Like, are there different sounds a slap's going to make that you're like, ooh, that's a good one?
I can. So when it's just kind of a thud, it's more of less of an open hand and more of a cup. And a lot of people do that. That is legal. You just can't do that. You know, it has to be kind of like that. And the open hand is more of a high pitch kind of, you know, and that,
yeah,
and that that more of a thud and or a cupping, that's more of a thud. And yeah, I can identify what exactly how they slapped and how they landed with just the sound. If you played a whole bunch of different sounds, I would get it. I can guarantee it.
Best slap you've ever seen in a movie or TV show?
I'm thinking of The Office. You ever watched The Office?
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Dwight got slapped. By Angela, yeah.
Who would you say is a better proportionate slapper, men or women? Like if men and women were the same size, like who's the better slapper?
Oh, that's a hard one. If we were men and women were the same size, who's the better slapper? I'd say the one with the bigger chin.
Last thing for me, man, where do you think this, like, what's kind of the future? Where do you think this goes?
I really believe in my heart that this sport will go further than most people think it will. And I have high hopes for it, you know. There is a production company that that I'm in contact with that is going to do a documentary series about in slap fighting and how I train for it. So I think that'll be the start of a big change in the sport, because no one understands. Like, we're just average blue collared people. You know, I work at Costco's and UPS and Amazon, like things that normal people do. And you know, when people see that, they're going to be like, what in the world? Their wives are going to be like, hey, go be a slap fighter.
Like, what are you doing around here? Just mowing the lawn. Yeah.
You better get out
there.
Be a slap, you better fighter. Go get out there, slap some men. No, and I couldn't do it without the support of my wife, and she wholeheartedly believes in me as much as I believe in myself. And you know, if I do get knocked out in the sport, man, good job. I'm going to freaking get up and shake his hand, give him a hug, and tell him good freaking job. No, it's my turn.
I want to thank Koa so much for joining us. If you want to connect with him, we have linked to him on our social media accounts. We're Profoundly Pointless on Instagram and Twitter, and we have also included his information in the episode description. Okay, now let's go ahead and bring in John Shull. You ever been slapped?
I have been slapped, actually.
The way that everybody starts that story indicates that it was probably a humorous circumstance and that they probably deserved it.
No, I can say the first time I was slapped meaningfully, because I'll never forget it. And after that, I told myself, no one will ever slap me again. And real quick, the story was, I was in high school, a football locker room. Somebody didn't like the way I'd done something. This person, by the way, I'm a pretty big dude. They were like a quarter of me, probably 100 pounds, 5 foot nothing. And we got into some kind of argument, I remember, and he just slapped me in the face.
Wow.
Yeah. And for those who aren't too familiar with locker rooms, there's not a whole lot of room, and I just shoved him, and he tripped over like a bench and fell onto the floor, and he started whining and sobbing, and I just turned around and kept on my business. But yeah, that was the first time I can remember ever being slapped.
Yeah. A man cannot slap another man. Oh, that's too disrespectful.
I mean, I'm okay with the, you know, you want to slap me in the arm, the chest, the back, whatever. I mean, okay. But like, when you start getting me in the face, it takes my anger level to a whole another atmosphere.
Did he go open hand or did he go backhand?
Oh no, it was open hand.
I would actually make the argument that if you are even if you're a big pacifist, right, and you don't feel that it's worth it to get in a fight with somebody, which it usually ends up not being, if another man punched me in the face, I could turn the other cheek and I could let that slide. Like, dude, I'm not going to jail. I'm not doing this, whatever. But if another man slapped me in the face, you have no choice. Like, oh, dude, all right, I got to fight this guy.
That has led to a lifelong so far mentality of mine that I don't like anyone remotely even pretending to slap my face, from my wife to my children to anybody. So
that kid really, even though he lost, he really won by traumatizing you for the rest of your life.
Oh yeah, I'm sure he doesn't even remember it, probably, or maybe he does, but he probably doesn't. He's probably living a great life somewhere, family, all that jazz, and here I am talking about it 20 years later.
I've been slapped once. No, I've been slapped twice. Well, I've been slapped multiple times, but all based on the same generic equation, which is when I brought ex-girlfriend, who was then legitimately my friend, to what turned out to be then at that time girlfriend's birthday party, which in hindsight was not a good move.
I mean, first, there's so many things about what you just said that need dissecting. I get like, why you can't be friends with an ex?
The situation was I was friends with an ex, like legitimately friends with this ex. We were legitimate buddies, and it was like a high school relationship that didn't count. And I didn't realize that it was new girlfriend's birthday because we'd only been dating for like a couple of weeks. And I showed up to the place that she was at. And I was like, "Hey," she did not see the rational explanation in that explanation.
I've never been slapped by a woman, so there's that.
I've been slapped by a woman several times.
No, I've never been slapped by a woman.
I would actually say I've been slapped by a woman, oh, probably 5 or 6 times. Okay, all right, what you got? What's your thing?
Wow, well, that's that went up and down there, all over the place. All right, let's here's some shout-outs for you. I'm going to start off here. I'm throwing you off your kilter today. We're going to start with Joe Dirtbagger.
Good name.
Yeah, it's a great name. We're going to go to Jake Petit, Don Gibson, Martin Crows, Candy Russell. I wonder if their name is actually Candy. I don't know if anyone really names their child Candy, but all right.
Well, you can if you basically want them to be a stripper for the rest of their life. Like, if that's the goal that you have in mind for your child, you name them Candy.
It really is. No offense to Candy. You know what? I'm not going to even say it. I don't want to offend anybody.
I don't think there's actually any women out there named Candy. Maybe an old Southern nickname. Somebody might be named Candy, but not legitimately anybody under the age of 30.
We'll just say that maybe it's just short for Candace. I don't know. All right. Mark Bouchard. Oh, yeah,
could be. That's true.
Robert.
Yeah,
Watkins.
But I would insist on being called Candace.
I could go 50-50. Would depend on the circumstances.
No, I don't think that you would. I think that after you heard thousands of people and everyone that you met give you the, "Your name's Candy, are you a stripper?" look, you're probably insisting on being called Candace.
If I knew that, you know, the Candy thing wouldn't be taken as derogatory or people would think I was a stripper, I would want to be named Candy, sure.
Where would you put John Candy in your list of good actors?
Oh, my God. Not anywhere near the top 50.
Oh,
but
get the fuck out of here. He's an American treasure. Actually, I think he's Canadian. But
he's Canadian, but no, I mean, he's not one of the best ever.
Oh, have you seen Ghostbusters?
John Candy's not in Ghostbusters.
He wasn't in it. He was in a movie like Ghostbusters. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. That's all you have to say.
I mean, he was in The Great Outdoors. He was in the bobsledding movie that's escaping me, Cool Runnings. Yeah, I mean, he had some good cult classics, but not anywhere near me to name him one of the best ever.
I'm going to put him in the top 10.
I'm going to say Dan Aykroyd is
more
significant than him. And no. Dan Aykroyd was actually in Ghostbusters.
Yeah, Dan Aykroyd was in Ghostbusters, but he's not as good of an. He's got better overall. Like, he might have. He may have hit some longer bombs, but he struck out a lot more than John Candy did.
I mean, but that's really hard to argue against Dan Aykroyd because he was literally part of the of two of the largest film franchises ever.
Okay.
So I mean, it's hard to say.
Ghostbusters and
not.
What else?
The Blues Brothers.
Is that Danny Aykroyd?
Yeah, it's Dan Aykroyd and
John Candy was in. They did Blues Brothers as well.
All right, well, that backfired on you. Nicholas Gatto, appreciate you. David Sanchez, and then Rob Abe, ending with two first names as a name. So thank you, you all, for checking us out. And sorry, Candy, that we totally butchered your name. All right, a couple things for you, Nick. First one is, would you rather give up social media or have to eat the same food for every meal for the rest of your life?
I pretty much eat the same food every meal right now. I legitimately have a burrito, a ground turkey, rice and beans burrito from Monday until Thursday.
Is that your diet? You
That's what I eat, and fruit. And I have a bowl of fruit. That's literally what I eat for every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I have a burrito.
Is there a reason why, or you just really like ground turkey
it's
burritos?
Cheap. It's easy. Without a sense of smell, I really don't give a shit.
See, that's you just hit. It's easy, man. I can't tell you how many times in the past the wife and I have gotten angry just over like who's making dinner, what's for dinner, what should we do for dinner.
See, now my wife and I make separate dinners. We never eat the same thing.
Okay, that's interesting. That's maybe that's common.
Do you know other couples that eat the same meal?
I guess I haven't really asked to be. I just presumed, I guess. I mean, why would you make? I'm the cook, first off. So if my wife wants something, I have to make both dinners.
See, now this could be a weird thing, though, because my wife and I eat completely separate dinners every day of the week. Honestly, pretty much every single day of the week. Unless we are going out to eat, we do not eat the same thing. But we watch all TV programs together. Neither of us watches a show separately.
Well, in my household, it's the complete opposite. We eat the same dinner, but we don't watch the same TV shows.
We've never had more than one TV in our house. Wow, that's probably pretty weird.
We only have one TV that we use, if that makes any sense.
But will you watch a TV show that she is absolutely not watching?
Yeah.
Like she has no interest in, and she'll sit there.
She'll sit there, yeah. And she'll maybe act half entertained, but she'll be on her phone Googling plants or some shit.
Wow. I have to wait till she goes to bed. Man, yeah, your marriage is better than mine.
I would trade that for being able to make what I want for dinner instead of having to make, you know, food for the wife and the kids.
So you would rather be able to eat what you want than watch what you want?
All the time, yes. I mean, you know, I usually get the, you know, we eat a lot of like frozen freezer meals and things because they're easy.
Okay, you go Hungry Man? You get Hungry Man?
No, we do like the Viola meals or like the Bertolli meals, you know, just plop them in a pan and stir them up and they're good to go.
Okay, so you go fancy version. All right, that works.
Is that fancy? Yeah. I mean,
is the way to go.
We went to Culver's. This is crazy to me. This should be my rant. We went to Culver's last week sometime, and it was like $35 for three people.
Isn't that fast food? How the fuck did you do that?
Dude, it's like $9.99 for a meal. You get two of those, and then you get kids' meals, which are like $4.99 or $5.99 a piece.
Oh, wow. Man, how much do you spend when you go to Taco Bell?
I don't go to Taco Bell anymore because they done pissed me off. But
that's the appropriate way to say that, too. I don't go to Taco Bell because they done pissed me off. You don't say they have pissed me off.
No, they done.
When Taco Bell makes you angry, you say they done pissed me off.
Listen, that could be a whole show is how mad I am at Taco Bell.
Can you just answer the question about what's the deal here with how much you spend when you go to Taco Bell?
Probably between $5 and $10.
Oh, okay. So that's not a ridiculous thing. If you're going to say that you spent like $20 on a family meal at Taco Bell, then you've got some spending problems, and it's basically your fault. Okay. All right. Well,
all right. The last question I have for you is, would you rather go through life unable to forget anything or go through life unable to remember anything?
Well, wait a minute. I'm unable. I can't, but can I write it down?
I mean, I guess so. I mean, we're not like
you have a camera.
You know what? No, actually, I had to answer it as to where you it's black and white. You just can't, you know, one way or the other.
Well, if you couldn't remember anything, then you wouldn't live very long because you wouldn't remember to look both ways between crossing the street. So you would get fucking killed pretty quickly. Like you wouldn't remember that fire is hot, any of that. You would die fairly fast.
Wow. I spent a good 3 hours debating this. You just put a stamp on it in 10 seconds.
Well, yeah. I mean, think about it. You'd be dead. You wouldn't remember, like, am I supposed to drink this bleach? Don't remember. Like, you would die within, I would give it long shot, a week. You might live a week. But I would say you'd probably die in a day. Because there is something out there, not like a virus or a meteor shower or something, but there's something that you probably encounter every day that if you didn't have any kind of life lesson would kill you.
Well, that's getting really deep, but I agree with you. From driving or right. just
animals. Driving. Am I supposed to walk up to this random dog, stick my face right in its face? Right.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Am I supposed to cut myself with this knife? Because it's sharp.
How do I hold this knife? Do I hold it by the handle or do I have, like, maybe you would make it a week. Maybe.
Wow. Well, like I said, I don't really know how else to say it. You put a stamp on it I spent a long time thinking about this.
Well, yeah, dude, it's pretty simple question. But I mean, outside of that, I would have to say that you'd rather remember everything, right? Like, let's say outside of the, oh, you're going to accidentally kill yourself. I would say that you'd rather remember everything than not be able to remember. Okay. All right. What's your big, you got a current event thing that you want to talk about? What's going on here, huh?
So listen, it's not really current event because I don't want to talk about the main stuff, right? The world's on fire. We get it. Two things I want to ask you about. First is, how do you feel about restaurants, mainly fast food, that get rid of a menu item and then bring it back?
Like, well, I'm okay with it. It's a marketing technique, right? They're a business. They're going to operate like a business.
It's insane to me, for instance, because I was doing some pre-show research. Holy hell.
Holy crap.
I know. Wow. McDonald's is bringing back its chicken snack wraps only because I was reading this, and this is per, like, many sources,
always good to have sources with McDonald's.
Some kind of Reddit article started, or Reddit subthread, whatever you want to call it, started a year ago about getting it back. And McDonald's took that, and now they're bringing that item back just because of this Reddit article. So if I say, hey, I want my favorite thing brought back from my childhood, and I can get 100,000 people to do it, they'll bring it back.
Yeah, probably. I mean, that's business, right? If people want something, you generally can make good business by giving it to them.
Listen, I just don't know how I feel about it. I'm still wishy-washy on the whole thing.
On McDonald's bringing food back? The amazing thing is, like, why do you even put any thought to this in your day?
Because it's like, it goes beyond, right? It's like my principle of when something's gone, it should just be gone. It goes away for a reason. Like relationships, people, whatever. Obviously, this menu item wasn't popular or something, and it was gone. But now because you have a bunch of people whining about it, they're going to bring it back. Give them all a trophy, too.
Well, I mean, if you love something, you let it go, and you see if it comes back to you.
Oh my God. I totally just set you up perfect for that.
Right. You did. You really did. I honestly would never give it any kind of a thought, although there is this one place. Rest in peace, Atomic Burrito. Oh, they had good burritos. And then they went out of business. And I would love for them to come back. Also, this bread bowl place made a really good bread bowl. I love bread bowls. Bread bowls are the pinnacle of human cuisine. There is no greater thing than a bread bowl.
I have only had two or three bread bowls in my life. And they've only been
fucking missing out.
They've only been filled with soup. Is that the only thing you can put in a bread bowl that makes sense?
Well, no. Chili.
Okay. Yeah, but some kind of soup. Right? Like, you're not going to stick like pulled pork in there or something.
I mean, you can put whatever you want in there.
Like I said, I'm not a bread bowl expert.
It generally has a liquid component to it. It's generally going to be something that you're going to eat with a spoon, is what goes into a bread bowl. But a bread bowl is the pinnacle of human cuisine. It's really the greatest thing we've ever done.
Would you eat a yogurt bread bowl?
No. I'm not a fucking idiot.
Sorry to all you yogurt bread bowl fans out there that we just offended. You're not
yogurt,
idiots.
Nobody wants yogurt in a bread bowl. That's not a real thing.
All right. Well, my other thing is just a rant. And Okay. Obviously I have two small children. You do too. I've officially hit the point of my life to where I now can sing more kids songs than I think I can current songs. And well, it just pisses me off.
You know what? I don't know any of them because I'm quite frankly, you know, an attentive parent. I don't just plop my kids down in front of the TV and let them watch stuff all the day long.
Well, you should try it. It's nice. It gives you some alone time.
It probably is pretty fantastic. I don't know any kids' songs except for the hot dog one. Oh, hot dog, hot diggity dog. For all you people who don't have kids listening to this and you think that we're fucking scumbags, you just wait till it happens to you because it will. It will. And it's catchy, man.
All these, well, that's what, so I was doing some research. 5 out of the top 10 most played media on YouTube are kids' songs.
See, okay, now this brings me into a whole giant rant that I have about how most popular music, when you initially hear what becomes a mega song on the radio, how often do you listen to it and you're like, that's not really very good? But then if they just play it again and again and again and again and again, eventually you start to like it. I think that that explains so much of the media that we consume. Most of it isn't good. Most of it is just stuff that you have access to and is put directly in front of you. And they just do it over and over and over again until eventually, all right, I guess I'll watch this.
Are you trying to tell me that Baby Shark isn't a masterpiece of music?
Baby Shark is actually pretty legit. I mean, Baby Shark's like Baby Shark. That's pretty good. But most other popular forms of music, I can't tell you how many times I've heard a new song that becomes a huge hit and thought, like, that song sucks. And then they just play it and play it and play it again until you eventually start to like it.
Listen, man, I grew up on terrible 80s rock and boy band music, and I am now just discovering, you know, like independent artists and things like that. And, you know, to each their own, but man, it is a completely different world. I agree with you. I think certain things are pushed down your throat and eventually you're just like, okay, I guess they're good when they're not.
All right. This is enough movie talk about stuff like this. All right. Are you ready? Are you done?
I guess. The Rock for President 2024.
Okay. So our top five is top five things that make us mad. What's your number five?
Kind of actually something that I brought up earlier. Fighting over dinner, uncertainty over dinner. I get so pissed off between me and my wife, and then I get all hot and heated. Before we know it, we're just ordering a pizza and dinner's on the table. It's something that can be so avoidable, but it isn't.
What's happening here, though? Are you failing to make a decision?
I would say not failing to, but yeah, I'm failing to make a decision. But why does it always have to be on me? That sounds like a terrible relationship. You know what I mean?
Maybe she's being courteous to you.
All right, I don't need you to take her side, all right? She's already correct on most things.
Yeah, I would just say, dude, eventually you make a decision, right? And then you just deal with the repercussions of somebody telling you that we always do what you want later and that passing fad go, right? Every 3 months they're gonna say we always do what you want, and then you just like, okay, and then you go back to your normal thing. You just get in that fight four times a year. It's not a big deal.
Well, I'm gonna try the Nick Van Zandt technique, and I'm gonna name it that tonight to my wife. I'm gonna say I'm gonna eat what I want. You cook your own self dinner and the kids and see how that works.
Dude, put it down, see how it goes. My number five is people who abbreviate things. I hate it when people abbreviate things.
Are you more or less speaking like from a text message standpoint?
No. Well, I mean that a little bit too. I'm not talking about like street signs where somebody says AVE instead of avenue, but like if you have a document and you call it a doc, I'm going to get upset about that.
you do get kind of pissy when, even when I've said things like that in the past.
Right. I don't appreciate it. It just makes me angry. All right, what's your number four?
Nobody could tell. When people don't, when you're on a team with somebody, whether it could be work, it could be video games, it could be anything, and they just don't give a shit.
Oh yeah, that's me.
Like,
yeah, I do that a lot.
Yeah, I just, you know, and like you call them out on it, and they still just don't give a shit. So,
yeah, I don't think that you can really make people care about things.
You can't.
I'm gonna put in the amount of effort that's required of me, but I'm not necessarily gonna go over and above and beyond. I'm not doing that.
Well,
not gonna pretend like I'm good at Call of Duty. It's just not happening.
Well,
plus it's more fun to be. It's more
pretty
fun
sure
to
I
be
would destroy you in any video game.
Yeah, except for Mario Kart or anything fun. What's your? Oh, my number four is not following through. I don't mind if people are late. That's not a big deal to me. That happens. But it's when somebody specifically says that they're going to do something and then does not do it. That's gonna. Yeah, I get heated.
Have you ever been so let down like that to where you're just done? Like, is there a specific memory that you have?
No. I've stopped giving a shit, but I've generally not quit if I still cared.
Well, I won't quit. I won't quit you, Nick.
Better. Yeah. Well, we're in this now. We're in this now. It's too far now, right?
162. Like here we are.
We've had so many of these episodes now. We've like got married and had a kid. Like what are we gonna do now? we got no option. Okay. What's your number three?
When people that you almost what you have, but a little different, when people that you expect or think you can depend on aren't dependable.
Yeah, that's a pretty easy way to piss somebody off.
You know,
yeah, just that general kind of.
Yeah, yeah, it could be anything from family members to coworkers. Just they're supposed to be there for you, and when they aren't, it's just really frustrating sometimes.
Ooh. My number four, my number three is I've got left lane drivers are pretty high up there, but I've recently gotten equally pissed off about people who walk really slowly and not for an obvious health reason, just like a general slow approach to life. Like, get the fuck out of the way. I've got like people who just amble about their lives. Like, don't you have things to do? Go.
See, it's really ironic that's your number three, because my number two is aggressive drivers.
Oh, I've got no problem with an aggressive driver, man. As long as they're not being like dangerous. I've got like, get it, nope. Get in there, man.
Nope. See, my wife has the perfect mentality, and that is, who cares what they're doing? In Michigan, if you get rear-ended, it's always the car that rear-ends you. It's their fault.
Oh, yeah, I think that's pretty standard.
So my wife has adopted this mentality that, who cares what the car does behind you? You just focus on in front of you. As were me, if someone's on my butt behind me, man, I'm getting over in the right lane and I'm, you know, waving passively, aggressively to them to go around.
Oh, I don't wave at people, man. I don't make any eye contact with other drivers unless it's a stare down situation.
I don't do that. I get really angry, but I try to be calm because I don't want to get shot. We have a lot of road rage incidents around here.
Yeah, you don't generally want to lead to something that's going to get shot. But I respect aggressive drivers, man. I respect aggressive people in life. I think there's not enough of it. I think people need to be more aggressive.
I think you can be aggressive driving when it's suitable, not, you know, on a main road when you're not going to go anywhere anyways. You just want to get around me.
Look, I don't think that you should be passing people in the parking lot, right? But
that's not me. I'm not even. I'm barely in the parking lot. I don't want any of that confrontation.
No, you don't. You got to be more aggressive, man. You got to seize the day. I agree. All right, what's your number two?
That was my number two.
Oh, well, my number two is wasting things. I hate it when people waste stuff.
Okay. Yeah. I've been one of those people. I'm doing my best to get a lot better though now. But I used to waste a lot.
Oh, okay. Good. Doesn't look like it.
Oh, sorry.
You're looking a little bit thinner. Either that or you put the camera farther away.
No, appreciate that. But what I'm looking at, which people can't see, is how I look like I'm fucking powder, man. If you've ever seen that
you
movie,
do look like a, you do look like a. Like, you need to get outside.
Like no, I'm in front of a window, and the sun is like coming right in.
Yeah. So everybody should. Yeah. Anyway.
Anyways.
Okay. What's your number? What's your number one?
I just have ignorant people, and that can be applied to however you want to take it. But yes, ignorance.
Yeah, that's pretty. That's getting up there. That's definitely climbing the charts. That's climbing the charts very quickly, I think. My number one is disrespect. I don't really care if people disrespect me, but like the people around me, I don't appreciate that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I don't think I've had to deal a whole lot with that. That's why I didn't put it on the list. But I mean, you know, just don't slap me in the face and we'll be all right. Or anyone that I love.
I couldn't even imagine slapping somebody. Like, I don't think that however angry I was, I don't think I could ever slap another man.
Yeah, I couldn't.
I also don't see the tactical advantage to slapping somebody. I mean, I don't know anything about that kind of stuff, but like, why would you go for the slap?
I feel like it's more of like an emotional thing.
I'm pretty sure that's the equivalent, though, of like, have you ever had somebody poke you in the chest?
I have, yes.
Well, I've never had that.
I have. I've been poked. I've been smacked in the chest.
Okay, you got any honorable mentions?
Yeah, you know, like this one is like when I give up on something that I know that I shouldn't. Like if I just gave it a little more effort, though I don't want to, like house projects and things. And then the other one I put on here was when my wife doesn't refill the toilet paper.
I don't really poop that much. I mean, I'm a solid once when I wake up, and that's pretty much it. You know what I was thinking about that actually would probably make me the angriest is when the instructions on something that you have to put together are not clear.
Like everything?
You're trying to figure out which like what's plank A, and then it turns out that plank A actually had a small hole on the one side, and in the diagram, it's like it's there, but you basically had to have a magnifying glass and have already assembled this thing 50 times to see it, and then you try to put the whole thing together, and it doesn't work. Because of that one thing that you didn't notice, like, oh, you had it backwards. We didn't tell you this or label something. How much does it cost to put a fucking sticker on something? Like, they can't put a sticker on it that says this is part A. You've got to, like, interpret what somebody else means.
You're getting pretty hot there.
Oh, I'm so angry about that. Because, like, why can't you just do that?
It might. Maybe the ink costs money. The extra little, you know, sentence. I don't know.
Oh, okay, that's going to go ahead and do it for this episode of Profoundly Pointless. I want to thank you so much for joining us. If you get a chance, please leave a review. It really helps us out. We really appreciate it. Want to know, what are some things that really make you angry? Not the big stuff, because we all get mad about the big stuff. But what's something that's more minor that just irritates you?